Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and if you're not already subscribed, why don't you go and do so? Also, leave us iTunes reviews. I ask you every week. Just because I ask you every week doesn't mean it gets less important. In fact, if anything, it gets more important. I'm hammering home that message. Leave me a review on iTunes, please. If you do that, I'd be very, very grateful, providing they're nice and have 5 stars, because it pushes us up the rankings, up the tables, and that's very important for keeping things ticking over down here. If you want to get involved with the conversation, talk to me on Twitter, suggest some guests, or just have general banter, you can find me at Jay Beardmore, this podcast at the Rugby Dungeon, and of course, the world's biggest rugby podcast, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, including Tim Cocker and Phil. That is out every Monday without fail. In fact, it has been so for about 4 years now. I think we're approaching our 4th year anniversary. So go and find us there. Today's guest is Joe Ford. Joe, you'll obviously know from being the son of ex-Bath coach Mike Ford. And Joe is currently preparing to play in what I consider to be the most exciting game in English rugby, which is the IPA Green King Championship Playoff Final. We talk about that and much, much more. So here he is, my interview with Joe Ford. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Sorry, just 1 minute. I'll just get sat down.
It's all right. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, I am now, yeah.
Excellent. What have you been up to today?
So just had training this morning.
Yeah.
And then that's it, mate. This afternoon, we've had a couple of tough days, so I just chilled out this afternoon.
Yeah, what is your schedule at the moment? Because you guys are through to the Green King IPA final, yeah?
Yeah, which are on Wednesdays, so it's a bit all over the place. So we'll have to be in on like Saturday and Sunday this week.
Oh, that must really mess up your routine, actually.
Yeah, it's strange, but anyway, it'll be all right. It's only a couple of weeks of it, isn't it?
Tell me this. Do you know when you were playing like in Sale or Northampton, like when you were in the Premiership, did you ever pay much attention to the Championship playoffs?
Yeah. They've been great, haven't they, the last couple of years?
Yeah.
It's great to watch, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I mean, they are absolutely brutal. I don't know any other rugby that gets played over 2 legs, but I think since the Welsh went up first time round, I've watched them religiously. What are you expecting off London Irish when you guys meet up?
To be honest, they're a really well coached side, I think. So they all know exactly what they're doing, you know, to the exact detail, and they stick to it. To be fair to them, they're a very good side. Very similar to Saracens when they first started off. You know, really focus on a good kick chase.
Yeah.
The defence is really good, good line speed, and put you under a lot of pressure. So, that's what I expect from them. And then when they do get the chance, they're pretty ruthless, and you know, in our half. So, they're just a good team, mate. You know, they've as you can see, they've been the best team by quite a long way this year.
Yeah, how did you go up against them when you met first time round?
So first time it was in the game for 60 minutes, and then we just fell off it last 20. And to be fair to them, they scored a few late tries, but it was probably a bit closer than the scoreline suggested.
Well, they're a strange organisation, aren't they? Because they had Brendan Venter in there, I think, at the start of the season on a consultant role. It wouldn't surprise me though if they are building in a very similar way to the way that Saracens did.
Yeah, you can tell it's the way they're playing. Very similar, like I said, the kick chase and. You know, they all stick to it. You can tell they do a lot of it in training, and you know, it's they just wait for the other team to crack, and then they te- take them chances. So it's difficult to play against. You've got to be patient, but you know, there's chances as well if you get it right.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, obviously there's Bristol Worcester, that was fairly close. When, in fact, that was probably the best game the Championship's ever seen, actually, the second leg of Bristol Worcester.
Yeah, brilliant. that was when Worcester scored last player, was it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think Bristol might have even had two men in the bin.
Yeah, Bristol thought they'd won it, didn't they? I can remember. But yeah, crazy.
So I'm thinking, right, that this might be one of the more closely contested ones. Because prior to that, generally speaking, when you get to the final, there'll be a plucky outsider, and then there'll be like whoever the superpower is in the Championship this year. I don't think it's quite that clear. I mean, obviously, London Irish have got that pedigree. They've only just come down. But you guys aren't too shabby yourself.
No, yeah, I agree. I think they are the favourites, but like you say, it's not massive like it has been in previous years. So, yeah, on paper, it'll be close, but we've got to, you know, if we don't turn up, they will batter us. So, you know, it's not a case of, you know, we can play within ourselves and get a result. We won't do. So, and same for them, I guess. If they don't play as well as they can, then we can score some good tries on them. So,
yeah, absolutely. So have you been? You've been up in Yorkshire now. It was just been this season. This is your first season back. You've had two previous stints up in Leeds.
So first year, that's when I come through. Really, I had 1 year in the academy, and then 1 year when I broke through to the first team, which is when they stayed up that year in the Premiership.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Now, was that like the Luther Burrell team?
Yeah, Luther, Callum Clark, who I went to Northampton with at the same time.
I didn't know that.
There's some good players in that team, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, was that all that? I think that was all under Stuart Lancaster.
No, that was under Neil Back and Andy Key. So I got the year when they come in just as Lanny went to England. I never got Lanny. But that group of players did come through Lancaster, yeah.
Yeah, because, still now, I mean, they generate so much talent.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing academy at Leeds. It always has done, you know, but just difficult to keep hold of them because of they're not in the top flight. So, it's like I say, it's really important they get back there soon.
Well, you know, it's not just Yorkshire. I mean, I was on, I was talking to Nathan Middleton, who you probably met him when you were at Sale, who does the BBC, who basically does the BBC coverage for Sale Sharks. And one of the guests was saying that there's not enough talent in the North, and particularly in the Northwest. I'm like, well, there is. I mean, there's you, there's your brother, there's Owen Farrell, there's Myla.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's ridiculous. Especially, also, you got to take the rugby league into account as well. There's some unbelievably talented players in that court as well. Young players, obviously George Owen come through that, didn't they? Ashton come through that. So, you know, there's so many good rugby players up north. Yeah, I think that's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah, well, it's a strange one because I actually work up in Oldham. And, like, no one really thinks of Oldham as a rugby town anymore because, well, there's no rugby. Well, there is rugby played there. I mean, I'm sure if you're an Oldham fan, you're going to take exception to me saying that. But the appetite for rugby league there is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. The players who've come out of Oldham alone, you know, I know a lot of rugby league, but Kevin Sinfield, people like that.
Yeah.
Incredible how they've done it over the years.
Well, you always hear about Sir Kevin, and you always hear George and Joe, such lovely boys.
we were just a great amateur setup. You know, I know the, like you say, Oldham aren't doing the best in the rugby league, but the amateur, there's so many teams, three good, real good teams in Oldham that, you know, play at great and travel to Wigan every other weekend and play the top teams, you know. So it's just so good as a kid coming up if you want to be a rugby player.
Yeah, who were you playing for? When you were a kid,
me and George we played for them all really. So my main club was Saddleworth Rangers.
Yeah.
And then George's main club was Waterhead really, which is where Sydney's from.
Yeah, I've actually trained at Waterhead.
Yeah. So they were the two, and we both played for. George played for Saddleworth at young, and I played for Waterhead when I was a bit older as well. So. Yeah, and we both played for both.
Yeah, I went to Waterhead because a guy guy who I played rugby with in Broughton Park, and by the way, we're like level seven at the time, and I wasn't even playing first team, but I was 24, and I quite fancied myself as being able to go into the gym. And he said, yeah, come up. We do these circuits with them.
I remember the circuits,
a bunch of 40-year-olds. I was like, oh, I'll smash them. Absolutely wrong. Could not be more wrong.
They love it, don't they?
Yeah,
I love it.
Were you doing it when... I'm guessing you were doing it.
Yeah, I've done loads of them circuits you're on about. I can make you them now, yeah.
It's so old school.
Yeah, so old school, isn't it? Just the equipment's about 200 years old. And
my favourite is the uneven shoulder press, because one of the dumbbells is like half of the crescent missing.
Yeah, it's brilliant, boy. You know, it's just a great way to... I think it brings you up in just a great way, you know, character-wise and that. And, you know, everyone just, they all love it, don't they? I'm sure you can say they all had a great time. And,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's you know, the whole rugby league community there is brilliant. I just wish that they could find some way to bring Oldham back into Super League contention.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I agree with you, because they've got the junior section, right? Like I said,
yeah,
similar to Yorkshire, but then they just need that top team to get up there somehow.
And it's a lot smaller place than, say, many of the other rugby league towns.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. But they've always held their own, like I say. Waterhead and Sadworth have always been, you know, in the top leagues from when I've known. So, yeah, they've always seemed to do well. I don't know what it is, but they always seem to get good players.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So tell me, what was it like for you growing up as a kid then? Were you always watching your dad play?
Yeah, so going back, probably, I can't really remember him. I got took to Castleford Tigers games, but I was probably a bit young to remember. But the first bit I can really remember is when he went back to Oldham as player coach. And he took me and George all the time, you know, to training sessions, and we got to just be on the side of the pitch and you know, help out, and then went to games and, you know, was always around the changing rooms and stuff like that. So that were the, you know, great memories that for me and George, and I think that's just really helped us, you know, get into rugby properly and love the game.
Yeah, I can't imagine you were going to be anything else other than a rugby player. Did anything else ever cross your mind?
Probably... I was a bit more into football than George. I was a big Liverpool fan, so I was into football and did it probably, you know, as a young kid. But then, no, I was always wanted to be a rugby player, I think, but I did enjoy my football.
It was always going to be a sport then?
Yeah, it's always going to be a sport, yeah. We were into our golf as well, but rugby was always number one.
Yeah, so it wasn't like rugby or maybe actuarial accountant.
No, it was always rugby.
did you boys end up going to Australia, or did you stay here when your dad played that down there?
Yeah, we went out there for, I think we lived out there, I can't remember, it was definitely 1 to 2 years. I was so young, but he played for a team in Brisbane, so I can remember bits of it, not massively. I was still quite young, but it was good from what I can remember. Yeah, we loved it.
Yeah, I bet it was a huge advantage, actually, when you start getting a bit older, getting through the academy systems of wherever you go, but having that amount of knowledge to fall back on.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, going into that environment at such a young age, although Oldham wasn't like for Super League level then, it was still the league below and it was still run quite professionally, so it was just great to see, you know, that players, how they prepared and, you know, how they trained and what it took, really.
Yeah, and you know what? Although rugby union is now professional, I do think there's like an ingrained culture in rugby league, and it still has that slight edge, even now, on the professionalism stakes.
Yeah, I agree. I just think if you go and watch maybe an under-10s game, and in rugby league, everyone's tackling, everyone's passing, you know, they're all spread out over the pitch. If you go and watch it at rugby union, you could throw a blanket over everyone, you know, because of the ruck, and yeah, it's just so messy. And I think because league at that age is just so good to get your core skills in place, I believe anyway, and that's why you get real good athletes coming through the game, you know, from an early age in league.
Well, they talk about things, don't they, in training particularly, like how many touches per game or per session can you have?
Yeah, and it can only be good, can't it? It can only be good for young kids. Because that's I know they're scrummaging and all that and looking, but the way you play, the reason you play the game is to, hopefully to get the ball on your hands in it and, you know, and enjoy it. So that's where league's real good for that, I think.
Yeah, I always had the thought that rugby union back should be playing league until age 18 and then they can be introduced to 15s. I don't know what the forwards do during that time. Wrestling or something.
It'd be amazing for the backs. That'd be a great idea. It would be, you know, because it'd be the core skills, like you said, the amount of touches they get in comparison to playing union for them amount of years would be, you know, so much more.
Now, tell me this. When you were in Yorkshire, sorry, I always call it Yorkshire when it should be Leeds and Leeds when it should be Yorkshire. Leeds, yeah. When you were at Leeds last time, you guys were in the Premiership. You stayed up. So is this your first year playing Championship?
No, when I went back to Leeds second time, I had 2 years playing. So when I went back from Northampton, I had 2 years playing Championship then.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, they were my first 2 years, and then obviously moved on to Sale after that, and then back here now. So
yeah, so you had what, 3 years up in the Prem with Sale, and now you're back. What is the thing which sticks out to you most when you go back to Championship and start playing there again?
When you go to an away game in Premiership rugby, it's unbelievable. Just the support, the stadium, the you know, everything about it. Championship, you know, it's just another level down from that. You know, the amount, I know it's not important, but the amount of people that watch, the facilities, you know, stuff like that, really. That's what really sticks out in my mind. There's a big difference, Premiership and Championship, you know, from that, to be honest.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at a team like Leeds, and I think most of your guys have Premiership experience. In fact, most of them have Sale Sharks experience, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of... The quality in the Championship's real good, especially the physicality. Mm. And then, like you said, Leeds, we have... I think most of our starting teams play Premiership, so... Some good players in there, you know. But like I say, it's just not the same as the Premiership. The intensity is nowhere near, I don't think.
Yeah.
The speed of the game. If you watch, maybe the top end Championships, you know, up there. But if you just watch them mid table, or I don't think it's anywhere near the Premiership for that.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to look at Bristol this year. A really, really solidly put together team, actually. All the starting 15 have had good experience, some cases an international experience. But I just don't think they were used to playing that pace until the very end of the Premiership season, when it's too late.
No, and it's so difficult because you finish. So if we get promoted or London Irish get promoted, they'll finish 24th. So teams in the Premiership have already had 2 weeks extra rest in them. And then they've got to get in place new players and, you know, the pre-season and all that. It's just such an unfair advantage for the team that gets promoted because they're already so many weeks behind, and the recruitment must be so difficult because you can't guarantee a place in the Premiership, can you?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean...
As the top player, why would you... It'd be so difficult to sign because you might be playing Championship.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Again.
Yeah, it kind of opens up. It kind of forces clubs down the wrong way in a certain respect. And what I mean by that is, say if you're London Irish, I guess the gamble for them is, do they retain a Premiership-style squad?
Yeah.
And if they don't go up, what will they do with that Premiership style squad? Because it can't be cheap. And same with Leeds. Do they invest in a Premiership standard squad without being able to pay for it in the Championship on the hope that they go up to the Premiership? It's a real tricky thing to do.
Yeah, it's so difficult. Especially Leeds, for example. I think they have got the investors, but you can't. Why would you put the money in until you know that they're in the Premiership? Because, you know, if whoever don't go up next year and Bristol come down, Bristol are going to be spending, I don't know, whatever they spend, £7 million. How can you compete with that? Like, you know,
it's a tremendous amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not playoffs next year. It's just first past the post. So.
Oh, what do you think of that?
I don't, like you say, it's great. From a neutral, it's great to watch the playoffs in it.
Yeah.
And it probably takes away that's the best bit about the Championship. But then, I do feel for the teams who finish top and then don't end up going up. So, like, Bristol did it for how many years and didn't manage to win the playoffs, and there were so many points ahead, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, they just never seem to get a big enough advantage of finishing top, because it still come down to two games. So, yeah, but I mean, it is a bit upsetting because, like you said, the playoffs are so good to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm that top team, I don't want them. But for everyone else, I think they're just quality.
The other 11 teams do.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you get some real, romantic stories too. Like Will Hurrell, who was an absolute hero last year for Doncaster, then gets picked up by Bristol themselves. So it's a good shop window too.
Yeah, definitely. He's done great, and he will. So, you know, it can just shows that the players in the Championship, there's more than one or two who are really good Premiership players.
Well, so. I'm glad you raised that, because that's kind of where I was going next. I mean, the Championship is such a great incubator of English talent who you think is going to step up to the next level, maybe the Premiership, maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, there's a number of players at Leeds. I think Ryan Burrows, who's off to Newcastle, is a real good number eight. He'll make a massive impact in the Premiership. Good ball carrier.
I mean, also, if you look at the signings that Newcastle are making at the moment, that's going to be a serious outfit next year.
Yeah, I think Toby Flood was announced today as well.
Flood, yeah, they've got the kid in Leicester who was there. I've heard rumours about Sam Jones, but until anything's announced, who knows?
Yeah, so they're really fair play. They've had a great season, haven't they? The money they've spent, so hopefully it's great. I love it when Northern teams do well.
Yeah, well, there's not many of them.
There's not many, so it's great, yeah. Hopefully they can keep going.
Right, I'm going to ask you to be a bit controversial now, Joe, because you've just mentioned Northern teams. Do you think that teams like Sale, like Newcastle, like Leeds, when they come up, they don't get fair representation playing for England?
That's been, certainly when I was at Sale, that was the feeling around the place. I don't know, you'd have to, I'm sure Eddie does watch the players just as much as the Southern teams, but you know, I think it comes from the stronger teams are always going to get more players in the England side, and at the moment they're the teams down south, so
yeah,
I think it comes from that, to be honest, which you can't argue with. But there is certainly at Sale, which from my experience, some unbelievable young talent in like the likes of Beaumont, Will Addison and Mike Haley, Sam James.
Yeah.
You know, people like that who, you know, I think will play for England one day. So, I think they are starting to get the recognition. Sale got a few in, didn't they? This latest training squad.
They did, actually. To be fair, I think they got three in. Haley, Sam James, Solomona as well in the backs.
Yeah, Solomona, yeah. So,
he was dynamite.
Yeah, unbelievable player. So, yeah, hopefully it's starting to turn. And the way Newcastle have done this year as well, they should hopefully get more in next season, hopefully.
Yeah, and also, you know, when you're talking about a squad that Newcastle are building, and it's good this year, it's going to be even better next year. The competition in the Premiership next year is just frightening. It's already shaping up to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. This is great to watch, isn't it? Yeah, like Worcester only going to get stronger with the money they've got and the signings they've got. So, yeah, there's no easy games now, is there? So, it's really exciting.
So, as number 10, as a guy that pulls the strings for your team, do when you look at the Premiership, who impresses you with the way that they play?
I always go back to George. I'm a real big fan of George, obviously.
Yeah.
Because my brother, but he's always, if you watch him, he's always real calm. Everything he does, he's never flustered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing with the 10. You know, you can get 10s who are real good when it's, you know, quite a loose game because they just play off the cuff rugby. But when it comes to controlling a game and understanding when to play and when not to play, is I think that's a real big quality that a 10 needs, certainly in the Premiership and international level. So him, Owen Fowle's real good at it as well,
mm-hmm.
obviously. He controls games week in, week out. So yeah, there's the top teams seem to have the 10s who control the game the best. Wasps have got Gopith and players like that. So, you know, it's great to watch them kind of 10s.
And how about in terms of, and in fact, you don't even need to tell me which teams you like to watch as such, but tell me about the style of rugby that you as a 10 prefer to play.
I do like a team that's quite brave, so they will run from their own half. You know, they're not under any pressure to kick everything from the coaches. So, you know, even Saracens are seen as a kicking team, but they still run the ball a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know where they just kick so well, and that's what people see. But they're a great running team. Teams that have a real good balance to them. That's what I enjoy playing in. So they just play what they see. If it's on to kick, they'll kick it. You know, they don't just kick it because that's what they always do.
Yeah, kick because that's what the coach has decided when you're in position X.
Yeah, exactly. Because some coaches will say, look, 10 times out of 10, we're kicking the ball here. You know, and it's so easy to read. And as a team analysing it, you're just waiting for the kick. So I like a team that has everything in the game and just plays what they see.
Yeah, because what annoys me the most is when people start criticising box kicking. And I think, well, you've got to do this in order to open up the rest of the game.
Yeah, of course, and especially if you've got a great kicker at 9, like Saracens have Wigglesworth and Leicester, Ben Young's unbelievable box kicker. You know, it's such an attacking weapon if you have, you know, massive wingers going onto it and challenging for the ball. You know, it makes sense to do it.
Yeah, so, I really think Wigglesworth is probably the most underrated player. I used to say the most underrated scrum half, but I'm going to go with the most underrated player of a generation.
Yeah, I agree with you there. He's the main. Him and Owen are probably the two that really have led to Saracen's success, haven't they?
Oh, completely. When that guy retires, what is he now? Is he 30 something?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just signed a new contract, I think, hasn't he? So
I think he's going to be like the Gary Neville of rugby. Never really appreciated until he stopped.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So, in terms of players that you play with, do you have a preference for the style of 12 you play with, or the style of 9 that you play with?
Yeah, 12s, certainly 12s. I like a. It's real helpful for a 10 when you've got another ball player at 12 who can think like a 10. So you've seen how successful it's been with England.
Mm.
And it can take a lot of pressure off you because sometimes as a 10, you just have so much pressure from the line. You know, the person out wide can see a lot more space or has a bit more time to see where we need to go. So I think that's real helpful for a 10, and that's what, you know, that's the way the game's going, isn't it? So
it is. Now, I've got a theory about this. I'd love to know your opinion. My theory is modern defences are just too good for traditional 12s. So the guy who rams it up the middle and gets over the game line, I just don't think he can do that anymore, unless you're Jamie Roberts or maybe a Ben Teo, but they're rare.
Yeah, no, I agree, because the way everyone's getting to a certain size now, you just get tackled, don't you?
Yeah.
Then what do you do? You know, then what? Oh, God, we'll try it again. You get tackled again.
Yeah, I mean, I think gone are the days when you can be an inside centre at, say, 6 foot and, you know, just have a little bit of a powerful run.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for it, but I think to break down these defences now, you need a bit more deception.
And, you know, it's not even that clear how you do break down these defences, because defence is probably the most easily repeatable thing in all of rugby. So you could catch any team on a good day and they might just hammer you.
Yeah, definitely. The defence is like Saracens. I always am saying it's just a mindset thing, isn't it? So if you're in the right, if you turn up with that right frame of mind, like you say, it's difficult to get through any defence when they're on it with the line speed, and you know they're all getting stuck in. So yeah, you know, it is real tough these days to break them down, which is why I think, especially the All Black teams now are kicking the ball a lot more, attacking kicks. I don't know if you've watched anything of Beauden Barrett, but he's probably kicked the ball 20 cross-field kicks in the last three games, you know. They just because that's the way to break down the defence.
Yeah.
It's just great, real smart from them, because you know they've done it once and they've just been, like you said, relentless with it and done it another 20 times. So
generally speaking, then you prefer another 12 that basically plays like a 10.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just think it just takes a lot of pressure off yourself at 10, and you know, another kicker in the back line who you know can kick as well and can step in at first receiver and stuff like that. You know, it's real good.
So, if you're ever going to give advice to a young lad coming up playing nine, what would you tell him to do from a 10's point of view?
I think the nine's like, you always want a good kicking nine as a 10, because again, it takes pressure off you, and it don't make sense going back 10 metres for your 10 to kick it when your nine, if your nine's a good enough kicker, he can just kick it from that spot and you know get distance or even more distance. So I think kicking game's really important. England do it a lot off youngs at nine. Obviously Saracens kick 90% of the ball off nine, don't they? So
yeah,
as a 10, that's real helpful if your nine can kick. And then, you know, if he's a threat as well, then you're not just watching 10, you're watching 9. And if you're watching 9, they might take half an eye off you at 10. So the best 9s, I go back to Ben Youngs, he's such a running threat, isn't he?
Yeah. So,
again, the amount of times he's gone through, because I'm sure defences are worrying about George, England, and Owen, or you know, JJ, and they've just left Ben. So it's like you can't take your eye off him.
Yeah, the strength and depth in England now is crazy. I mean, you just named all those boys. You know, you've not even got as far as Elliot Daly. You know.
Yeah, sorry, Elliot Daly as well. Yeah, I should have mentioned him. Yeah, he's great. He's a footballer who's, he'd be great to play with, because he can step in at first receiver, and he's very clever rugby brain on him. So, yeah, I'd love to play with him.
Yeah, well, hopefully next year you will be playing, well, we don't know where you're going yet, but hopefully somewhere in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a Lions tour this year. I don't know if that's come across your plate.
Yeah.
Have you had much time to watch any of the Super Rugby teams that they'll be up against?
Yeah, I have. Like I said, mentioned earlier, I watch a lot of the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Beauden Barrett and his brother, he plays 15, called Geordie Barrett. Unbelievable players at recognising space, and then getting the ball there. It's a very unbelievable, because there's no relegation in that Super 14. They just play from everywhere.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Unbelievable. It's like a different sport to watch, but it's unbelievable to watch. And so it's going to be tough, because you've just got so many good footballers in that team. Starting with the forwards can play like a 10, some of them, Kieran Reid and people like that. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. But
you might argue Dane Coles is one of the best, not hookers, but rugby players in the world, and he plays hooker.
Exactly. They've just got it. They're just all-round footballers, aren't they? They probably get bought up playing more like a league style of rugby than union.
But,
you know, we talked about earlier, getting the ball in the hands and playing stuff like that.
Well, the weird thing is, though, I mean, I think because of the New Zealand success, that colours the rest of the Super Rugby, because you don't actually see that style or that success in the South African teams, in the Australian teams, in the Sunwolves or the Jaguars. It does seem very unique just to New Zealand lads.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. They're doing something right, aren't they? I don't know what. They're just really talented rugby players who work very hard on the game. And then, you know. And then another thing is the coaching. Obviously, the coaching allow them to go and do it on the field. Maybe the South African teams don't have that freedom that the All Blacks or the New Zealand coaches give them.
Yeah. Have you had the pleasure yet of working with a New Zealand coach?
No, I haven't.
Oh, get on the bucket list then.
Yeah, that'd be real good. But I haven't at the moment.
Yes, yeah, so I've got a theory, you know, that I think the Lions, I think they might have a chance against the All Blacks. I'm not sure. They might have a chance.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure they have a chance against the provincial teams if they come out at full strength.
They'll be the tough games, won't they?
Oh, completely.
With that thought, it isn't an easy game, is it? Where you can probably rest a few players. They're going to have to go real strong in every game, which will take it out of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually you've got like a President's 15 at some point, or like, you know, a university team or whoever they play, like a midweek team. No such luck this time round.
No. And they'll be, like I say, it'll be great for them to get one over on the Lions.
Yeah. Did you watch the Wales tour? Was it last year when they went to New Zealand?
Maybe, yeah. Not 100%.
It was either last year or the year before. Now, you would argue, right, that the Wales team, with all those superstars and all the influence that they're going to have on the Lions, their biggest beatdown by far was playing against the Chiefs midweek.
Yeah.
It was just brutal.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, isn't it? It's going to be the Chiefs, all of them are unbelievable teams. Are they playing all of them? I'm not sure, but
yeah, I think they are, yeah. Actually, they've got all five provincial teams. I think one of the provincial teams falls between test matches, and I think they might have like some other like smaller teams, like maybe an NCP team in between.
That'd be brutal. It'd be tough, but you know. It'd be good to watch.
Yeah, well, I wish them the best of luck, and by all accounts, they're going to need it. Well, Joe, you've been an absolutely awesome guest. Thank you for coming on. And where can we find you on Twitter?
So my handle's _JoeyFord.
Excellent. And if you really want to find Joe Ford, find him this Wednesday at the IPA Green King playoff final. Okay, Joe, well, thanks again, and we'll cut.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Catch up soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, mate. Joe.